I'm from Texas. My name is Wendy Perry. McKinney, north of Dallas. Mm-hmm. Dallas? It's north of Dallas. Just go straight north. It's right between Sherman and Dallas proper. You're just fucking with me now. Shoot. Where? I don't even know. No. Are you from Texas, really? Awesome. Okay. Fantastic. We're very friendly there. Are you frightened? He's leaving. He's terrified. Okay. So this is the main question. Why are you all here? This is really all you had to do today? This is it? Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. You're going to have to settle down, honey, right there. Simmer down. Okay. Seriously. Bless your little heart. Well, where's that thing I stole from the book? This is sacred space. I've been told that this room, last night, a prophet has returned. He's the one and the strong, mighty and strong, is here. And he's coming. He was in this room last night, so that's all over. Who knows the song, Oh Say What Is Truth? My topic is so big that I had to kind of figure out what I really wanted to say. We talk about Revelation. What is truth to Mormons? You just kind of raise your hand or shout it out. Yep.
It did see section 84, verse, I believe 45, it said, you shall live by every word that proceedeth forth from the mouth of God. For the word of the Lord is truth, whatsoever is truth is life, whatsoever is God. Spirit, even the spirit of Jesus Christ. So there's kind of a definition.
That's kind of one, okay. Anybody else?
Well, you can have inspiration from the Holy Ghost, which is a revelation.
Okay, you guys, okay, let's just get real, real basic. We're going to start from a basic foundation. Okay, we have an extant universe, right? Try to get a little bit out of your Mormon funnel thing for just a second. Because if we don't establish what we're talking about, then we really can't get anywhere or go anywhere, right? I'll tell you then what I grew up believing in the olden days. There is a universe that exists, and that is somehow knowable. Okay, is it unchangeable? Did you learn it was unchangeable? Okay. Okay, so how do we, and then I learned, there is this truth that exists in the universe, and there are different ways people approach finding out what is real. So truth is, to me, what's really going on? What's happening? So we have science with its approach, and then for Mormons, how do we gain truth, and what do we call that? What, Rob?
Science takes the data and draws conclusions. And my idea of Mormonism is you start with a conclusion and you make the data fit the conclusion.
But how did you think you were going to figure out truth growing up as a Mormon? Did anybody grow up as a Mormon or get taught in it? Anybody? Sister? Lovely lady, second from the end there with your hand.
Lovely lady. I did grow up Mormon.
Okay.
And you take your question about truth.
So, you go to Sunday school. You go to Young Women. You go to Sunday school. You spend all these hours. And how were you taught that you were going to find out what is real, what is true, what is really going on in the universe?
You're taught that you were to read.
Read. Okay. Okay.
And your parents told you things, and as a child,
So we believe that it is a knowable thing. Can we all agree to that? Did anybody not get that growing up or becoming Mormon or being Mormon, that truth is accessible and a knowable thing? Anybody? Okay, so we'll start with that premise. All right, now, how are we as Mormons going to get, how do we get to that? Yes. Great. You got that in Mormonism? Study it out in your mind. Very good. Right? 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 Okay. And did you miss anything else? Yes? Yes. Yes. I'm not going to talk about that. We're talking about what do we believe as Mormons? Otherwise, we can't. It's too big of a topic. Yeah. Yep. Follow the prophet. Okay. So, 2 years before the church was even formed, Joseph Smith was writing stuff, Doctrine and Covenants stuff. He said, this is God's doctrine. He started to declare this is God's doctrine. So, we can think of as Mormons, he's saying, we can know the truth, and I'm going to get it from God, and maybe some other people can get it from God, and you can have this experience too to get it from God through the feelings of the Spirit. But there's a couple tricks there, because he also said, we're going to get further what? Further light and knowledge. Okay. So, for me, my idea, and I think for most people, the idea in Mormonism is that we start over here, and then God, it's a line. I'm not going to draw, but you can imagine a line going across. That this is the axiom, that we get further light and knowledge, and we move from milk, and then as we're ready, what do we get? I know you guys are tired, I'm sorry. We get meat. Okay, so what determines whether we get meat or milk?
We're not really allowed to get meat. Why
not?
Because they have to keep it simple for the lowest common.
And you always have a new generation of dum-dums. Because as soon as you get really smart, you die. But isn't the idea that we had that, okay, so... the excitement to me of Mormonism growing up was we're going to get further light and knowledge, and I'm so excited because I'm going to figure out these mysteries, these answers, all this stuff's going to come, and it was just this totally dynamic, you're waiting on the Lord, and if we just read the Book of Mormon, we're going to get eventually what? Nobody got this? Come on, some of you people are older than I am. I don't know. You know this stuff. So if we read the Book of Mormon and kept the commandments, what were we going to get? What was going to be open to us? It's all down the memory hole. I give up. What ones? Thank you very much. You can win the trip to Hawaii. Okay, I have a prize for him somewhere. We're going to get the sealed portion. The only reason we don't have it is because we're not ready for it, right? And, okay, this is the stuff that younger Mormons don't know at all. Because I'm on some sort of sites, and so I'm kind of taking a pulse all the time of what's going on. And people write things all the time like, I never heard about that. There's 3 degrees in the celestial kingdom. Like, it's broken into 3 parts, too. Who ever heard of that? And I'm just thinking, like, that was just basic. I knew that when I was 8 years old. And you got to go to get to the top of the top, right? Right? Did anybody not get that growing up? They don't get that. Okay, where was I? Okay, so we're going to continue to get further light and knowledge. And we call that? Dara, thank you. At Revelation. This is how we're going to get truth. The problem is, He also said that, and Brigham Young talked a lot about the fact that, you know, we're just humans, and then you got to get, God's got to get it to you, and then you got to put it in your language, and then you got to write it down, and through this whole this process of everything, you're probably going to mess it up. Does that ever bother anyone? Okay. Does that bother you? What does that bother you, Rob? What does it have to do with the fact that they can't get it right? Because they can't get it right, then what happens? They got to change it later? The prophets, seers, and revelators, they got to change it later? Okay, so there's no doctrine in this church, if you know one, please tell me that hasn't changed, right? So the idea that it's going to go on a continuum and we're going to get progressive further light and knowledge and we're just going to get more and eventually these mysteries are going to be unfolded, that's kind of been the biggest disappointment for me. It's like, you know, that just didn't ever seem to be coming forth. Instead, we've got a lot of retrenchment back to this.
Yeah. Yes. When it came to baptism for the dead in Nauvoo, they went down to the river and did it. That's all they could comprehend at that time. Then the revelation came and said to God, I don't recognize this anymore. You've got to do it with them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How do you think Joseph Smith thought about it in terms of taking in other people's thoughts? I mean, did he see revelation as something that just came from up there and through him? Do you think about it that way? Is that how it has really worked over time? So how do we get the primary organization? How do we get primary? Did Jesus come to the temple and tell a prophet? How did we get a single adult program? Does anybody know? Yep.
All those were started and somehow placed and co-opted by the central organization.
Well, co-opted is a little bit of a loaded word. I think they were like, that's a really good idea. Why don't we do that? Right? And they co-opted it. Well, they never said they thought of it. Just assume that we thought of it. Okay. I love this story I was reading about. Is anybody uncomfortable if I talk about garments just sort of generally? Is that okay? And I wish I had the year, but, you know, I'm thinking the last century. Some of the women, I know what it was. It was when the 1920s hit, it was a big problem for the church. You know, these sociological milieus that the church is kind of stuck in, right? So the 1920s hits, and what happens to the skirts? I mean, you got to realize it. It's not like they just kind of scooted them up a little bit. They went from ankle touching your boot to here, up to here. And then, so think of a flapper, like she has no, you know, sleeveless. For you to just kind of understand how much things have changed, you have to imagine that 3 out of 4 of the men who were in charge of what garments are going to be like, whatever committee that was called, because actually I don't think there is any evidence where, other than the placings of certain things, there was any specific revealed doctrine about what garments actually are to look like. If anybody knows, they can argue with me. But so they're like, okay, well, at one point, well, maybe we just won't wear them. We'll just only wear them in the temple. And And so when the 20s hit, they're like, well, we're just going to make little straps, like little strap garments, so we won't have any of the sleeves, because all the women were just trying to tuck everything. And they got tired of seeing all the little outgrowths of garments everywhere. So they, instead of retrenching and saying, look, you women have got to be more modest and stop it. You've got to cover up the cap sleeves. They didn't do that. So they said, well, why don't we just make the garments smaller? So they had all these ideas, and they were great ideas. I mean, just great. And but one guy blocked it, so we didn't get it. So just to give you an idea of, there was just so much more interchange and even at the ward level. When I was growing up, everybody knew when the Relief Society president and the bishop were having a fight. Does anybody relate? Because anybody old enough to remember any of that stuff? No? Yes? We have one hand? Right. So, yeah, before correlation, it was just a big family. Everybody just talked. Everyone had fights. And nobody tamped it down. It was like, yeah, she wants to do this. And the bishop said no. And she's like all in an uproar. And it was just a known thing. And nobody got, tamped down or, shamed or excommunicated or anything. It was great. It was fantastic. I loved growing up in that kind of environment. And, I mean, these Relief Society presidents were powerful. They were awesome, amazing, ballsy people. So it's a little different now. Okay, so now we're looking at the fact that we have truth, revelation, this knowable stuff that's coming down, and then we have, whoopsie daisies. It seems that we have some sociological stuff going along where members of the church are having down-up influence upon the leadership. Okay, someone give me some other examples. Yeah. What's it called?
Called The Next Mormon.
Yes.
Janet Reese has figured out everything.
Yes.
It is bubbling up. And
it's fantastic.
Look around and say, what the hell are we going to do with this problem?
That's right. Okay, because you came here today, you get to know the secret, a secret that no one else knows. And I'm going to tell it to you. Do you want to know it? It's a good one.
Yes.
Okay, it's about wearing veils in the temple. Okay, I used to have this little podcast called The Mormon Wellness Project. At least one of you listened to it, I know. You heard it, okay. It's still on iTunes, by the way. Don't listen to the first three or four, please. Just, I can't get it off iTunes. I am starting a new one called Mormon Mania, and I'm also going to be doing one called Mormonism and Masonry. So go to mormania.org. and donate if you would like to have some podcasts on Mormonism and Masonry. Super interesting, right? Someone said, why would you do a podcast on that? Like, I don't know, because if you don't understand Masonry, you don't understand anything about the church. Right? Okay. Okay, so here's what happened in the... So this would have been last... So kind of probably a year ago. Probably one of the biggest examples we've seen recently, right, is with Sam Young, the changing of policies regarding how bishops do interviews. Did we get where we want to be for some of us in terms of that? Are we there yet? Have we moved the needle? We moved that frickin' needle, okay? I had a podcast which is called Why Change? And I said, why? There are so many things, because I'm trying to help the church out. Just tell them, why don't you just do some changes? It's not going to hurt, No big deal. You guys can let go of this. And so I kind of went through a list of things that, and other podcasters have done it before, So I said, the thing about trying to produce change, if you are indeed someone, and I think a lot of people, I get the feeling from being in classes that a lot of people in Sunstone, we're kind of a bunch of people that have a lot of suppressed rage. There's a lot of pain, but what we do with that pain is we say, well, how can we make it better for other people? We come to agree with that. Like, why are we here? Why are we even sitting here? What's the point? We could be doing something else. I kind of like to be at the mall today, okay? Seriously, why are we here? Because we're trying to help other people. What else is there? What else is there, right? I mean, it's interesting, and it keeps me alive because the intellectual stuff is interesting. But I got kind of like, I don't like the thing with the veil in that temple so much. So the problem with movements like Ordained Women, God bless them, but you can't ask for permission from the powerful. It doesn't create social change. There's this little thing called civil disobedience. Anyone ever heard of it? Like Gandhi or like Martin Luther King? Anybody hear of those guys? Okay. Anybody have a little person called Rosa Parks, for example? You had a Rosa Parks. She said, hell no, I ain't going to the back of the bus. And that's how you create change in societies. I'm so sorry. Okay, let me... I ain't fucking gonna move back to that back of that bus. I'm tired. My feet hurt. You can just go. Something like that. Probably not. Probably a little more slow. See, people from Texas know me more, and it's like they've already gotten used to me, so I apologize. I could break out into characters at any moment. Okay, so on the podcast, this is one of my ideas. I said, hey guys, I got an idea. When they ask you to veil, just don't. Ever thought of that? Why do we do it? I know this is a very subversive group. You can leave now if you want to. Yeah, but am I going to get credit for that? No. But I'm the one that did it, so I'm staying. I'm just telling you. So I said, just don't do it. If you don't do it, what are they going to do to you? What are they going to do to you? And I'm just using this as an example, okay? This is just an example. They're not going to make a big deal out of it, okay? So. Okay, but the secret part, anyone who can hear the podcast, and I'm so sorry, if Eleanor Roosevelt said, I would never give anyone the power to offend me. Thank you. So, the part you don't know is I got a couple of little emails from people who said, hey, I didn't do it. And nothing happened. I mean, like, no lightning bolts came down from the sky, nobody kicked you out, nothing happened. And so, you got to kind of assume that this starts getting back to people. And so that's, I think, kind of where maybe more we're headed. And it's not that I don't have compassion and understanding for what the leadership is dealing with now, because it's not going to stop. The speed of what's happening with social pressure movements is going to keep going. It's not going to get less, right? Yes. Probably maybe 4 months before the thing. Okay, here's another one. If we would like to, I mean, you have to, everything that happens and everything that's ever happened and all the changes, it's generally kind of incremental. And if you can't understand, read Martin Luther King. He understands this. Like, you don't go from here to here. So if you would like to stand as a woman or a grandmother when your baby or your grandchild is blessed and hold the baby, well, just go hold the baby. Because there's no doctrine against it. If you can show it to me, show it to me. There's no theology against it. It's not even a policy. Does anybody know that it's a policy? It's probably sort of in there. Right. Okay, so what happens is local rules and local movements do go to the top, right? So, and we all know we have, you know, bishop roulette, stake president roulette, and we have bishops who are like, sure, you can hold the baby, or you can do this or this or this. And then some are like, heck no, you can't do that. And, you know, we've heard stories from people who have had those experiences. There's one of Mormon stories I listened to. So what happens? So what happens, because we're all a bunch of gossips in Mormonism, right? Okay, so somebody gets up, and she holds the baby, and the bishop lets her do it, right? Okay, what happens after sacrament, after the two-hour block? Oh, my God. She held the baby. And then what happens? Like, ring, ring. Isn't really ringing. No, 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 no. I don't care about that pipe. I don't care about those people. Well, I do, but no, it goes this way. This is how social movements work. I call my friend. I call my friend Sherilyn in Panguitch. That's a place here, right? Panguitch. And I said, hey, this lady's holding a baby in church today. Really? Wow. She's like, is that against the rules? No, I guess not. Because it isn't. Nothing happened. You didn't do anything. And then she tells somebody. Pretty soon everyone knows. And then you're done. Then now everyone can hold a baby. Right. Because bishops don't care. I mean, some do, but they might flip to the handbook later. So that can happen. What else could happen? This is the apex of my talk, and this is the point of my talk. That can happen where finally you get a thing, you know what I'm saying, that either quietly or somehow message gets sent, or maybe we get a little something. Somehow bishops and stake president get the message that mothers can now, grandmothers, please let the grandmothers do if we want, hold a baby during blessings or whatever it is. The one lady got to hold a microphone. That's what it was. They let her hold the microphone. No, I know. Women can't hold the microphone. Might drop it. So funny. Sorry. I really didn't come here to make this anything about, like, I'm the last thing that would be called a feminist, but it's just what happened. So, okay, so what's the other thing that can happen? Yes. Okay. Yes. 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 Exactly. Yes. Critical mass. Yes. How in the world did we get garments from being down there to up here? How did that happen? I just have a really difficult time thinking Jesus was like, yeah, I used to think down to the ankle was good, but not anymore.
Did they just
stop wearing? Is that what happened? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just stop wearing.
Well, the more relevant question is, where did we get garments in the first place? And then if you wanted the origin of garments, then you might have a little more liberal attitude about them altogether.
Well, that's why we have to do my Mormons and Masonry podcast. And we're going to talk about temple and garments and everything. All right. Are you going to donate to that? Are you just going to put your money where your mouth is or not? I need a dollar. I need a dollar a month. If everyone gave me a dollar a month, I could do it. Sorry. If you just start opening your mind to the stuff we can do, if we just quit asking permission, your mind will just, right? And it's not just a women thing. I mean, it's everything. But here's the problem. And this is the other thing that will happen. is they will bring down the frickin' what? Hammer. Okay. Okay, who's got an example of the hammer? Well, yeah. The thing is, if you get it diffused like that, and there's not a leader of the movement, because you're just doing it and not asking permission, there's no one to excommunicate. So how would they bring the hammer down? Besides excommunication, which obviously is one way they do it. Policy. Policy. Anybody know anything about policy changes in the church? No? You don't like policy changes? We like some of the policy. Russell. Russell Nelson had some pretty good changes recently, you got to admit. Kind of like...
I don't know. This is my belief, okay? If it has something to do with the religious aspect, it should not be changed. So if we're told to take go to the temple and the temple ordinances are done like this, exactly like this, we do them exactly like this, it should be no change. Oh, I don't want to take...
No, we don't have the penalties anymore. No, no.
No,
that's
wrong. Why do we want to do this?
Exactly.
Way,
it's malleable because it's malleable and it's changeable. I agree. Honey, you're too logical in this thinking. This is very logical. This is not allowed here.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. Because I agree with you. Like if you say this is it and this came from God and this is the way you do the temple ceremony, then. They could do it again. Right. Right.
Now it's like, well, that's pretty close enough. Go ahead.
Don't they make them do it like 2 or 3 times now?
No.
They stop that?
I'm down in Texas and I saw
they stop that?
Stopped doing it because it was taking too long.
And it embarrasses people. It just depends on the bishop, right? It just depends. But I agree with you. Like I like people that are on one side of this or the other. Like other side, just like if it came down and this was direct from God and He said this is our doctrine, this is where we're going to do it. We shouldn't change it. We should be sticking to the book. That makes sense to me. But that isn't the thing with Mormonism is. It's been changing all along. So I don't know what to I don't know what to do with that. Yeah. He also handed it off to Brigham Young and said, hey, make it work over in the temple there. Come on. Yeah, and then Brigham Young ran with it because Joseph Smith told him to. Yes. Right, that could happen. And then they could also do a policy thing and say, we're not going to allow that. You know, that's done. We're not going to do it. So it can go either way. So there, it's just an interesting phenomenon. I just want to discuss and talk about it. And I want to. What I'm going to say now is probably going to make some people angry, but that's cool. That's good because if like a lot of people hated Jesus too, and he was kind of cool, and so I figure if nobody disagrees with you or hates you, you probably didn't say much. But as I was kind of watching what happened with the, what we've now come to call it the November policy, kind of like we labeled 9/11, this thing that happened, because we have to have shorthand for language. So, okay, who can just tell me in briefly how what happened? What happened?
There was a revelation that said the children...
Well, it wasn't a revelation at first. But just try to stick to the facts as much as possible. Like first thing that happens is we're going our phones. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, it's okay. I mean, it's very complicated. It's not like, if that's not your wheelhouse, you're not going to know every detail. But...
Maybe if church leaders get together and
Okay, Supreme Court says gay marriage is okay. That's okay. No, I wasn't thinking it. Yeah. I mean, we could go back to the womb. We're going to crawl back in the womb. Okay, so anyway. So then, well, what are we going to do now? So, and someday there's going to be a great movie, and me and Richard Dutcher are going to do it. Because somehow he became my friend on Facebook today, and I don't know how, but I'm really excited about it. There's going to be a movie about what happened behind the scenes. You know, what was going on? How did we get that original policy that was just, well, there you are, roll, come on in. You're fine. I'm just getting started now. How much time do I have? Okay, so, and you're going to like this because I'm going to blame everybody in the whole friggin' Mormon exoverse, okay? Because I think everybody did this thing called collusion to create the November policy. So everybody has going to take some blame here, okay? Will everybody like that? We all agree that's okay? So the policy gets sent out via email, as far as I know, to the stakes, presidents and the bishops, I do believe. And this is in addition to the existing handbook. Because there's a folder and you just add it in there. This is the policy. And it was just really messed up. I mean, who knows what happened there, but it was so messed up, people just had no, how is this even going to work? It was, okay. So then what happened? So this was supposed to be kind of on the down low, as they say. It got leaked. Okay. Let's say someone said, hey, here's a great idea. My hypothesis may be that it wasn't a great idea to leak it. If it had stopped right there, what would have happened? In the handbook, bishop's like, I don't care. Does anything happen? Maybe. Maybe some stake president, or, I never got your comment. I'm so sorry. Are going to, like, oh. So now, okay, what am I supposed to do now? Like, excommunicate all these apostate gay people getting married? I'm not doing that. I don't have time for that. I'm not calling these people in and excommunicating them. What would have happened? Anybody? Would the world have blown up? So maybe, just maybe, and I don't know. Maybe the way it happened is the best way it could have happened. I'm just saying, as we move forward, let's really think about things. If it hadn't been leaked, and I'm not blaming anyone who did that, I totally get it. I think John Dillon's a hero, love him to death, fantastic. I'm not blaming anyone in that sense. I'm just talking about accountability in terms of logic. So my vision was that some of the stake presidents and the bishops would go, there is no way we can even work with this policy. First of all, this thing doesn't make sense where you live with them and you live with them because they've got going back and forth. So that would have had to been changed immediately, which it was. I mean, that was kind of obvious. You know what I'm talking about? Like, if you live part-time with this parent and they used to be gay, if they were ever, ever gay, even if they're not now, and if they ever, you know, then it was just a mess. So they would have said, we can't enact this policy. This doesn't even make any sense. So they would have gone back up to the top. They would have reissued a policy, fixed that part, and maybe gradually over time it would have gotten fixed. I don't know. But what happened is it got leaked. And then the church is in the fix. So then the next thing we had was what? Elder D. Todd Watergate Christofferson. I just say that because he was involved in Watergate, not because... Yes, he is, Tom, yeah. So he's the representative. So he gets a script, and they have this whole scripted thing where he goes on there, and he doubles down on it. Hard time. If you watch it, you can just see him, like, bleeding inside, kind of, you know? Because they had to double down on it. So then what happens? Okay, so then what do we all do? Everybody's everywhere. Everybody. And by the way, This is very personal to me because when that policy first came out and everyone was on their phones and everyone was everywhere going, this is a hoax. This is a joke. This is ridiculous. There's no way the Mormon Church would do this policy. And my daughter, who was kind of going down the rabbit hole at the time, was like, yeah, this can't be real. And everybody was in agreement. And maybe there's a few outliers that were like, yeah, this is great, fantastic. Most people are like, yeah, that seems a little far even for the Mormon Church, right? Can we all agree? Everyone just give me a yeah. It was like, this is ridiculous. This isn't happening. We're not that mean. We're just really not that mean. Thomas Monson, he's a darling. He's sweet. He visits. He wouldn't do this. We all agreed that. Then what happened? It was a policy. Yeah, I know. Yeah, it probably was not Monson. Yeah, I'm not going to blame poor President Monson. I won't. I'm sorry. I was just saying we all knew he couldn't have done it. He wouldn't have done it probably. We don't know. We really don't know. So now we had a decision to make, and we had been taught our whole entire lives, if you ever hear anything from the prophet of the church, what are you supposed to do? Take his word for it? Really? Roy? Huh? Come on, you know what Brigham Young said. You know what he was afraid of. Yeah. You're not supposed to just take it at face value. You're supposed to pray about it and go, you get confirmation. Of course, now if you don't get confirmation, then, you know. But that's just the way I was raised. I'm sorry. I just was taught that. Every week in Sunday school, I was taught that. You hear the word of the Lord, the prophets, and then you think about it, you pray about it, you study out, and you get that feeling that you know this is from God. So we all had a turning point. And my daughter went one way and I went the other way. And it's been a mess for years. And that's part of the pain that's amongst a lot of us, right? And it's a tough one when you spend your whole life teaching your kids something and you're like, I can't go with this. And then she starts checking me for garments and telling me my face is darkening. It's fun times. Does that look darkening? I don't think it's darkening. I know, I have. I like pink. Give some pink or something. My dad, bless his heart. My dad is a wonderful man, very loving, very smart, great guy. I'll get back. I'm like, all right, I found my tangents. I'll come back. But he used to come out after sacrament meeting, and he would talk about a Hispanic brother that was in our ward, and he'd go, that brother Castillo was still getting lighter and lighter. And really would just have, you know, he's getting, you know, whiter every week. I'm like, what? I'm 7 going, what? But so we had a choice to make, and again, you know, we're in that position like, well, you can't change it. So now instead of looking at the way we get revelation in the church as a line, we see it more like as a swirly, whirly peppermint forest kind of thing, right? And now the rate of which things are coming out and changing is pretty darn fast. I mean, you talk about how long did we go with polygamy before we changed it? How long was that? Then how long did it take to really stop doing polygamy? Long time. You know, how long to change this? Now we're like at rapid speed, okay? So we're 2015, we get the policy, then we're changing it in 1 week, then we're readjusting it over here. But what happened was we all said, it's just a policy. That's how we're going to deal with this, right? Is that what we did?
Yes.
So that, yeah, so then you got to think, well, it was always a revelation, but again, so then President Nelson comes out and says it's a revelation. So I call that doubling down. If that's offensive, I think of a better word, but he codifies it. You know, it's like, no, this was a revelation, and we prayed about it, and he swears Thomas Monson was there. So So he codifies this now. This is revelation, so now this is doctrine, right? So what was just something that was going off on an email to the bishops and the stake presidents is a little, maybe that could have been worked through. Now it's a revelation. Now we have a revelation. And then what happened? Now what's happened?
60,000 people.
Wow, 60,000 people?
Yeah.
Is that true? That's a lot.
150,000
in 1 year. Wow. I don't know what reason they gave, but it was the November policy. It was like, it's kind of a straw that broke the camel's back for a lot of people, or it was just the catastrophic. Painful, just catastrophically painful. So that happened. And from that, I think a lot of these progressive social movements have really bloomed and blossomed because of that. And I'm not saying for good or I'm not making a judgment for good or evil. I'm just saying this is how it works, and this is what we can't deny is the fact of what's going on, what happens, and saying this is a social interaction that's happening. The church affects us. We affect them. It's like a dance. We do the dance. Just like anybody married? By the time you're married 10 years, you got that dance down pretty darn well. You move this way, I move that way. You've created a dance together. It's not just one person. You've done it together. There's no... If it's a mess, no one person created a mess. If it's great, no one person made it great. So, thankfully, some of that's been reversed now. But what happens now that we look at this timeline of not only do we have policies that are evolving, changing, being, as you talked about, giving a little more light, knowledge, revelation in terms of, well, we used to baptize here, now we're going to need a temple to do it in. This is different. This is different. Do you think it's different? Was this a reversal? Yeah.
2 days before the newspaper said they held that policy.
Okay.
And 2 days before conference.
Okay.
I was crossing my fingers that President Nelson would make reference to it during conference.
Okay. This was after he announced the policy change? Okay.
He still said it was revelation
on both ends. Yeah. That's the conundrum. That's just the conundrum we're in. That's just the conundrum we're in for people who, want to see or making sense of it. I guess my question is, you're all going to have to figure it out. And for some people, there's going to be a way to make it all work. But when it is painful to people. It's painful to people like this brother here. You can't have a revelation one day. This is this, and now okay, I got another revelation because at some point logic really does kick in, and it's like okay, what changed that? Why would God suddenly, okay, now 2.5 years later, and then say it has nothing to do with anything that happened in this sociological soup that I'm in. It has nothing to do with that at all. It just stretches the brain too far. So that's just something we're going to have to deal with. And we're also going to have to really think about how we interact and how we collude and how we create good outcomes versus positive good outcomes versus negative outcomes sometimes by the way we act in terms of progressive movements that seek to enlighten, to love more and do these things. Sometimes we get ourselves in a bit of a pickle, and really it's almost impossible to figure out all the unintended consequences of things. So in that sense, there's a lot of unintended consequences, but I think it's worth taking a look at and thinking, what would have happened if nobody would have leaked that? Could it have been fixed internally? I have no idea, but it's just kind of something that I think something to contemplate as we looked at and the history of the church and how many times that cycle has gone on. So now as you do your history, you can reflect on that and say, this might be one of those times that she was talking about, where this happened, and then what were the choices? Either the hammer came down, and these people got excommunicated, and they went on their way, and that happened over and over and over and over. And that has a lot to do with the history and the evolution of the way we receive truth from God in the latter days. Thank you very much. Are we out of time? Do we have questions? Does anybody have any questions? It can be about anything, therapy. I don't think I can bring it to you, but come on up. Come on up to the microphone if you have any questions.
I'm not sure this is a question, and I didn't get in on all of your talk, unfortunately. So I'm from St. Louis, and I have been inactive anyway for the last 18 years since my divorce. And I went to a Christian church and learned, gee, they talk about Jesus, so I needed more Jesus and less Joseph. And yet I still had, you know, some of my Mormon beliefs that I still carried for all these years until this last fall when I kind of learned all the secret underbelly of the church. But my kids are all active adults, grown, have kids. Some of them have married kids in the temple, and then they married, you know, of course, staunch Mormons, and on and on and on. So they think I'm at a REMAX convention. They don't know I'm here at this because I can't talk to them about it. But when the church's policy changed in April from, you know, the gay policy that they came out with 3 years ago, in the mission field, although we have, you know, stakes and we have, you know, several wards in each stake, we don't have like a church on every corner like here in Utah. So unless you have a gay child, this policy, quote, revelation wouldn't impact you. You really wouldn't care, quite frankly, unless you had people that you knew had a gay child or something that bothered you. But anyway, So when it was reversed or re-revelated, I asked my daughter, I said, oh, by the way, did you hear that the church came up with a new revelation, that they changed the first revelation? And she, oh, mother, that's just a policy change. And so really, the Mormons that are in the mission fields, who aren't here in the Vatican area, they... they don't know all the stuff that the Mormons here, you know, deal with and know. If they hear from one person it's a policy, they'll believe it's a policy. And I corrected her and I said, well, actually, honey, that really wasn't just a policy, it was revelation. Oh, mother, I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to start, you know, problems or, you know, criticize. I'm anti-Mormon, I guess, now, but... anyway, I just wanted to make that comment that so many people where I'm in the areas I'm from didn't even think of it as revelation. It was just a policy. And, oh, good, we changed that. Well, anyway.
What's your name? What's your name, Annie? Lynn. Let's talk afterwards, okay? Let's get together. Take a picture of me. They'll buy it. Remax, I like to sell you a house. My kids know I'm at Sunstone. I'm giving a very fair and balanced presentation on Revelation. I just want to say to her, I did not have the guts to go to my daughter and say anything. I didn't have the guts. So props to you. I didn't have the guts because I knew I was going to get that shaming. And she's married to a bishop, so I'm my son-in-law's a bishop. He's one of the greatest people that I know. My sons, my grandkids are active. And I like people growing up being taught religion. I think it's really, really important. But that's another talk, I guess. Anybody else have a question? Rob?
I'm interested in where some of the information is coming from, where things like this veil policy change, I was completely unaware of that. And also some of the numbers have been quoted, 150,000 people leaving as a result. And... Get lost. So I'm just curious about where some of that information comes from. Maybe after somebody can stop me, let me know.
Yeah, get together with those people back there. This guy's got secrets. I know back here he's smiling at me. He's got stuff. And it's not just the podcast with the Temple Veil Change. There's been a lot of other podcasts. You guys know? Do you guys listen to podcasts? Like, it's a world that they listen to, and if they can find, like, we can change that. And there's been a lot of little things that have gotten better. So. Okay, great. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, okay, very good, excellent. The thing about Mormons is they raised us to be so smart.
I can't resist saying this, but aren't you all glad that when Brother Russell Nelson announced that it was a revelation, he was not the acting prophet at the time. The acting prophet was probably in bed, perhaps unable to speak, so... Maybe we discount that assertion about that matter. I don't think that's a full answer, but let me just add, I think there are still many other things to be worked out. There are many other things to be worked out, both in the church and in our own lives. And even personally, I feel I still have a lot of things to work out, and so having patience with some others, I think it's necessary.
Thank you so much. Okay, thank you.